There's still really crude disciplines that are very new.
Oh,
extremely
dude.
New.
Psychotherapy has become so much about just validating people's bullshit.
Right.
And yeah, your therapist is an enabler. Sorry.
Some people are like super gay. Other people figured out they are a little bi later on, and that's less real. But, you know, in terms of, yeah, I mean, people want to have a comedy show or a comedy festival where it's just a bunch of gay people, and they want to market it as, hey, we've gathered a bunch of gay comics for you. Then people who show up are having a real experience of gay comedy.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking about identities and how I don't think any of them are real on my way over here. That's not the one I want to talk about, but that, you know.
Oh, is that? Well, first of all, let's do this. Welcome to Politically Nonbinary.
Hey, thanks.
Mm-hmm. And can you introduce yourself for the audience, including your age and your weight, but then anything else you want to say is up to you.
I'm Michael Malamud. I'm 31 years old. I hover at around 120 to 125 pounds. And
it's more than I thought.
I am a, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I am a local Austin comedian.
Okay.
Was that everything?
Yeah, that's all you needed. So yeah, what's your controversial take?
Oh, well, I was actually just talking about this the other day on my friend Tim's podcast, but I can talk about it forever. I literally think that probably 40 to 70% of all people on medication for mental illness, broadly speaking, mm-hmm. do not need to be on that medication and would be better off if they did proper self-examination and went off the medication today. That's not an instruction manual, by the way.
Okay, yeah. So, and this is similar to Liz Blatt. No. Brett Verfort said ADHD is not real. And, I mean, she's a little bit being tongue-in-cheek. And I do have someone already who's saying that she would like to come on the podcast and defend that ADHD is real. So we'll have that episode soon. But this is a continuation of that, this is a kind of the bigger picture of that is that Americans are generally over-medicated.
I like the, yeah, yes, yeah. That's it. That's right. It. And I like the idea, and it's got tremendous social ramifications, and it's to do with the nature of society to assimilate. That's why everyone's over medicated. It's assimilation. That's what it is.
Right. So if they for the ADHD kind of stuff, they want you to take Adderall so that you can sit there and focus and like go through the school situation and learn how to work at an office.
Whatever it is. Whatever, yeah. It is. Whatever way you're swinging that appears more animalistic, just wild, free. Really, free, uncontrollable, uncontrolled. That's got to be tucked into place, tucked into line. And it's not, I'm making it sound like it's a sinister plot, right? But it's not always a sinister plot. It's just the nature of the mechanism. The teachers are, you know, trying to teach the class, and there is a kid pinning another kid down in the back of the class.
There's too many kids in the class.
Now their recommendation to the parents is to put him on Adderall.
Right.
When really he's got to like run around.
Right.
A lot.
Yeah, it does seem like we could do more of the running around kind of stuff and restructure education for kids to be. Because a lot of these people who are homeschooling their kids, at least for a while, it's like the kids just get a lot more free play, get a lot more even structured play, but that just a lot more play. A lot more learning how their body and the physical universe works outside and whatnot. And, yeah, they're really getting to exhaust themselves. But I think, okay, so we did talk about the Adderall stuff, and I think we covered that portion. But so what are some of the other some of the other medications you think they're being doled out to?
Oh, antidepressants.
Mm-hmm. It does seem like everybody and their mother is on Lexapro or Wellbutrin or...
And there was just this longitudinal study that came out. It was like a 30-year spanning study that the conclusion of it that was that the antidepressants really in and of themselves are not an effective treatment for depression, that the idea of a chemical disbalance mm-hmm. is not really imbalance or whatever you call it. That used to be a common thing. You would say, oh, they've got a chemical imbalance. Yeah. It's kind of fallen out of...
People don't say that as
much. Yeah, they don't really say that like that anymore. But that idea is kind of really not accurate. And so the antidepressants, they're not helping you. And you talk to people who are on antidepressants, and they're unhappy, whether they say it or not. And they often will tell you. They're like, yeah, I'm depressed and on antidepressants. It's like, oh, nice medicine, dude.
Well, that's interesting.
Sweet medicine.
Because... for most of 2022, I was pretty miserable, having depression, but also having really high levels of anxiety and could not get out of spirals of anxious thinking. And I finally, after trying a few different medications on and off and just being like, I don't know, I don't want these side effects. I don't know what this is doing to me. I'm not sure this is working. I finally got back on Prozac, which I had been on when I was 16 for a few years, and then have been off for a long time. But I got back on Prozac, and after a few weeks, as it built up in my system, I was able to finally start getting out of the spirals of horrible, like every worst case scenario, every worst interpretation of everything would just plague me kind of nonstop before. And on the Prozac, I'm able to, you know, especially in the beginning, I was able to like start talking myself down out of these things and realize here are some other perspectives that you can take on this. And so I don't know how long I'm going to want to be on Prozac, not forever, but this is like, there are some chemical imbalances or whatever, however you want to frame it. I think where I have some issues with serotonin, I always have. I had really bad OCD as a kid, and like with OCD, like what happens is that when you're having an obsession, your serotonin plummets, and then you know that if you perform your compulsion, you can get a little bit of serotonin. You don't know that, you know, consciously like that, but that's how it works. It's like taking a drug, and then your system like downregulates so that you need more and more of that drug. You need to perform the compulsion more and more, and so you get into a serotonin depression spiral, and so then that is a chemical imbalance that then if you use something like Prozac, fluoxetine, whatever, wisely, you get yourself, you, because you still have the peaks and the troughs, you still have the troughs of the bad moments with the obsessions. But if you raise the general level of serotonin higher, because you inhibit the reuptake of it, and so you have higher levels generally, then you still get those troughs and you still have to deal with the anxiety of it. But it's high. You have more serotonin, so you're able to be at a place where you can talk yourself through and do the cognitive behavioral therapy on yourself to talk yourself through. No, everybody doesn't really hate me. I haven't ruined everything. Whatever. And then you can fix your thinking so that you don't have such things. So you can kind of even out your that wavelength, and then you can wean yourself off of the Prozac, so that you, because now you have the healthy thinking. But a lot of times people might stay on it forever, keep taking more and more, or they don't do the cognitive behavioral therapy on themselves or with people. And so the idea is that they take that Band-Aid and they keep wearing a Band-Aid all day instead of putting the antibiotic on it or whatever.
Cool. Everything you said is good.
Just to defend the medication side of things.
Yeah, right. And
I am very happy.
Much like you, you look thrilled. Much like you, I don't think there is, and correct me if I'm wrong, assuming you have this perspective, I don't think for any individual mm-hmm. that there is anything more valuable as a guideline for how to live their life than their own experience. Mm-hmm. So you're on Prozac, it's working for you. Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm saying the Prozac, broadly speaking, is not working.
Right.
It's not a solution. A lot of the people that are on it don't have the problem that they're being told they have.
Right.
That's what I believe. What else am I trying to say here? As far as things like OCD, I mean, I could diagnose myself right now. I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. I have a BA in psychology. I don't have a psychiatry or a psychology master's, and I am not a PhD, but I've read enough of stuff and I've studied myself enough to know that I got some stuff sure. going on that would fit into the DSM-5, the DSM whatever they're on.
I think we're on 5, yeah.
Yeah. So, is my mic doing something strange? Cutting it?
All right.
It must be. Okay. So, the DSM, I would fit in there in certain...
You're saying with OCD.
Disorders. OCD would be one of them.
Several of them. Okay.
And my belief about...
You could be diagnosable. You're like, you meet enough of the criteria for a lot of these disorders where you could get diagnosed and be put on drugs with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, most people could. Because these things are spectrums, then a lot of it is really up to interpretation.
Right. And I think... you mentioned this thing about symptoms and the mm-hmm. Band-Aid, and, yeah. and then your metaphor you weren't satisfied with. But mm-hmm. that hits the nail on the head with what I think about Western medicine, broadly speaking, but definitely.
Or maybe it's more like there's a splinter in your thumb that you need to pull out, but you keep putting a Band-Aid over it.
Right, exactly. So Western medicine is amazing. Amazing.
At Band-Aids.
Greatest of all time for mm-hmm. Band-Aids.
Yeah.
Underlying causes, I would say close to horrific.
Close to the worst, yeah.
Yeah, right. Even psychiatry and psychology, meaning psychotherapy.
There's still really crude disciplines that are very new.
Oh,
extremely
dude.
New.
Psychotherapy has become so much about just validating people's bullshit.
Right.
And yeah, your therapist is an enabler. Sorry, you can't trust anyone.
Many of them are.
Your therapist included.
That's the thing about therapy, you know, and people talking about everyone needs to be in it. It really depends, because if you get a bad therapist, it's worse.
Yeah.
She can really become an enabling. She can really just be your rah-rah person and tell you that you're great and that everybody else sucks or whatever. Like,
yeah, dude.
It's really, yeah, like, no, you're good. You just need to feel good about yourself. It's like, no, some of you really need to, and some of us, you know, really need to change major things in our lives.
I would say we all do.
Yeah.
And you know, that is an extremely judgmental statement of others, but I'm really talking about myself and my personal experience. My personal experience has taught me that the only way to move into a new place psychologically, spiritually, and whatever have you, is to examine yourself and make whatever changes are necessary. I helped Michael Jackson write that song. No, but you know what I'm...
Uh-huh.
You get it?
Yeah. Okay, so let's throw out the gauntlet there. So we've got ADHD medication, we've got depression, maybe anxiety medication.
Mania, bipolarity, definitely anxiety, yeah.
Okay, like, I don't know, sometimes with the people with the bipolar or in schizophrenic stuff, it's like the medicine really can help some of them to not be like, to be functional. Like, I mean, you know, we don't know what kind of, yeah, functional in a sick society, but still, that's the society they live in. So it's kind of like, do you just say, no, I'm not going to take medicine because I don't want to be whole. I don't want to be able to be in this sick society. I mean, it's like, if you can't change society enough yourself, then can you really, you know,
I mean, this is where it gets this claim that I'm making, which mm-hmm. I stand firmly by, mm-hmm. it does get dicey once someone's in having a manic episode and you ask, right. Oh, really? Are they're having a manic episode? And the person goes, yeah, they're taking a shit and spreading it all over right. the walls. You know, I mean, that's mental
right.
illness
right.
and that happens. And sometimes you gotta, it's kind of like the death penalty. There are always these lines that are just like, yeah, okay, we've got to make a hard cut right here. Like, there are people in prison who are in isolation and have managed to find ways to get a pen tube and stab a guard in the eye, you know?
Yeah.
Literal dangers to to anyone who could come within 10 feet of them,
right.
Monsters. And then, yeah, there are people who you got to put something in their body to alleviate whatever the immediate concern is, because they're a danger to themselves,
right.
And others. That is by far not the...
Yeah, you're just saying we're way overdoing it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just right. to be clear with everyone listening, we're not saying that no one should be on medication for any of these things. It's just that way too many people are.
No, don't go off your medication because I said so. I'm not a doctor. I don't prescribe right. anything. David Foster Wallace, the famed and overrated fiction writer of the 90s.
Infinite Jest is so good.
Terrible book.
So good.
Was one of the worst I've ever read in my entire life.
No, I
couldn't believe that I devoted 3 months to trying to figure out
what
that
was. Some of the storylines I wasn't as into.
Oh my God, Ariel.
That stepfather, pages. Never
mind. You really are autistic. I understand now. Pages and pages of just boredom. Boredom and description
writer.
And... No, he is. Okay.
Oh,
anyway.
God, it's just a joy to read. It's like Nabokov.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Well, I think that is the line. You would have probably liked Thomas Pynchon, too, right? Is that how you pronounce
his name?
You
know what? I started reading Gravity's one of his books Rainbow. And I didn't get into it, but I've always meant to try again. Yeah,
I
Gravity's
just
Rainbow.
Hate that maximalist postmodernism. I'm Jordan Peterson. The
I like him too.
I love
sometimes he goes off his rocker, but you know
he's gotten very apocalyptic.
Must be hard to only eat meat all the time or whatever's going on. It seems like it would be hard to keep your thoughts straight.
I do like Dark Jordan Peterson. And it's an interesting timeline. Dark Jordan Peterson. There was Ripped Carrot Top for a while. You know, there are some interesting characters. But what was I?
I don't know, but what are other drugs people
should
be taking?
Wait, David Foster Wallace his antidepressants right. on the recommendation of his doctor
mm-hmm.
and killed himself.
Right.
And when he went off his antidepressants, he tried to get back on them and the levels didn't work. If what you're doing is working for you and it's the opposite of what I'm saying, don't fucking listen to me.
Right.
Yeah.
But if there's something in your, when you hear this, if you go, am I being kind of weirdly... like indulgent in an unhealthy way to take Lexapro and Wellbutrin? Because a lot of these people wind up, you take one and then you got to take another to counteract some of that, and then you take the third one to counteract some of that, and it's like, is that what you want to become? Like my first ex-wife's mom was like a zombie who I was like literally like 35 different prescriptions. It's just like pill bottles after pill bottles, you know, because some of these cause some pain. You got to take the painkillers, which make you tired. So you got to take the uppers, which cause these digestive issues. So you got to take the, you know, and it just goes on and on and on. And it's horrible for your liver. It's horrible. Like there's always costs to all of these drugs. And so, you know, especially once you're on a few of them, or if you've been on one for a long time, it's like, meh, okay, let's, and again, not if you're fucking schizophrenic, but if you're quote unquote depressed and anxious, or whatever, you know, like maybe, and you know, some of you know you got that Adderall prescription just for fun anyway. You know, I mean, there's a lot of that too.
Here's my thing. I'm depressed, anxious, have obsessive compulsive thoughts, feel manic at times, and emotionally volatile with mood swings, anger. And I love
human experience.
My life. Yeah, and mm-hmm. I don't want any of that tampered with or altered chemically outside of my own personal choices there, you know?
Well, yeah, and I would also recommend to people that before you get on medication, you try meditation, you try lots of exercise, you try doing everything you can to get good sleep, an eye mask, earplugs, a good temperature, good whatever, everything, you know.
Put it
drink
on
lots
shirt.
Of water, eat more vegetables. Like, you know, quit the job that is soulless or that you know isn't contributing to the world and find something meaningful to do with your life, help others. Like, try all of that stuff. And then if it's not working or you can't get yourself to do those things, then, you know, talk to your doctor about medication.
It should be a last resort. And yeah. The reason it should be a last resort, the urgent reason it should be a last resort is because I believe that these motherfuckers are pretending or lying to themselves, telling themselves that they know way more about what these drugs are doing than they actually know. Because that's the history of medicine. And it's certainly got to be the history of psychology, which is, as you mentioned, a really, really young
And historically quite barbaric.
Discipline. Oh, my gosh.
And so it's still, yeah, what's going on? We'll look back in 10, 20, 30, especially 100 years and go, I can't believe doctors were filling these people with poison. Just willy-nilly, just exactly. giving it out like exactly. candy, turning
it's
these people
it's
into
going
whatever.
To happen.
Yeah, there is going to be. So it is, you know, something to just be conscious about. But but it's tough because some people really need the medication. Some people really can use it especially in a short term. Some people need it in the long term. There are different situations, but some people are, yeah, taking it because it's easier than figuring out how to live a good life.
The predominant feature of this culture is shopping. Mm-hmm. And when you reach the field of psychology and the questions of mental illness, Americans do exactly what they do with everything else, which is they shop for their mental illness, and then they shop for their medication.
Well, there's even Instagram ads constantly that are like, you don't need Adderall, try Thesis. You don't need whatever. Like, they're like, or there's one I think they were saying they would just send you Adderall in the mail the other day on there. But like, they're always
not
trying
anymore.
To
there's a shortage.
Well, they're always trying to sell me various kinds of like, you know, mood, energy, whatever kinds of things that are like either medications or they're like medication-like now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's a mushroom cocktail that will do all those things for you. Mm-hmm. So you're right. People are shopping for their...
Oh, yeah. They'll sell it to you all kinds of ways. Coffee alternatives, you know, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But,
mushroom,
you know,
coffee enemas.
I'd rather the mushroom coffee enema than the... You know, just the thing with the name that you can't pronounce that is a synthetically derived, you know, medication that alters literal brain chemistry. The brain is the least known organ in the body, and our understanding of how it corresponds with the rest of the body is just
infancy.
Starting.
Yeah.
They only just started to call the gut the second brain and all that with all its neurons. I mean, they've been honed in on this thing for years, and we're living the product of that.
Yeah, we don't know all of the consequences of all these medications. And we also know that, like, some people are using them to numb because they know they're not living a good life. For instance, like, remember the Sekeli guy or whatever, whenever people finally realized he was Martin Shkreli, whatever, when people realized he was a piece of shit. And people are like,
I mentioned him the other day.
How do you sleep at night? And it's like, how does he sleep? He has pills.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
He has access to all the best sleeping pills, of course.
Yeah, because you would need them.
You would need them if you're evil.
You would need them, yeah.
If you're going to be that much of a selfish, really, really pretty evil piece of shit. You know?
Oh, I imagine some of the rich just move from injection to injection of whatever chemical they need to continue whatever they're doing. You know, I mean, God knows I would. I would just pick the chemicals that I like.
Yeah, and just feel that.
Yeah.
Oh, their soul will figure it out in the next round of karma or whatever. Who cares? But
that was another one of my topics.
The soul?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we might have to have that another time. We only have about 5 minutes. So we got 5 more minutes to talk about. Any other medications that you'd like to mention? Put on blast?
Oh, man. I love putting medications on blast. Let's see. So they got the ADHD. They got the bipolar.
Obviously, people are addicted to painkillers all the time and let that get out of hand.
Huge crisis. They've got, I think I got the major ones because after that, it becomes like schizophrenia. And that stuff, I'm not trying to touch.
Yeah, let's not touch schizophrenia. Yeah.
And by the way, I still think the medications are probably fucked up with that too. However, I'm just not trying to touch it because...
We also just don't know. We're still... I mean, to some extent, we have to use people as guinea pigs and figure it out as we go with schizophrenia because we just don't understand it enough.
We just don't understand what it is.
We're just trying to patch the hole until we can figure that out.
Yeah, there's this book by Michael Talbot, The Holographic Universe. It's now a classic. It's like the first book that articulated the idea that we're living in a mutually projected reality, like an attempt to scientifically articulate that. And he put forth the idea in that book that schizophrenics are experiencing types of realities, but they can't integrate them.
Right.
And that's another one of the dangers I really feel with all this over medication is I just really value the whole range of human experience, and I don't think it's sane or normal. I don't think it's coherent or typical. Even the categories of neurotypical and neuroatypical are an attempt to normalize and create some kind of like categorical distinction for something that is way beyond any kind of distinction. I don't think there is any neurotypical. I really don't.
Well, yeah, well, there's enough neuro quote unquote atypicality that it becomes like pointless to even talk about something being typical. Like, our brains are just all different.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that are more common than others, but our brains are all different. Even the hardware is different between all of our brains.
Right. Different souls.
Fascinating. Different souls, sure.
Yeah.
Word. I mean, we don't have time to get into this, but, you know, definitely some people also make the case that with gender, we're over-prescribing medical interventions. When it's that, it goes back to that thing where if you feel a sense of great dysphoria in the society, like, is it better to be like, well, yeah, but it would be better for me to learn to like love my actual body and not suck the pharmaceutical company's dicks for the rest of my life and all that kind of stuff. Or, you know, and just show other people an expansive view of what a penis person or a vagina person can be. Or is it the fact that you live in the society as it is now and you're going to be really, really unhappy if you don't try to medically change? I think some people are happier and better off medically transitioning, and then some people who are medically transitioning, we know it shouldn't probably be because they wind up detransitioning or whatever. And it's like, and so where that line is, like, the more people that we can have off these medications but live happy, rich, fulfilling lives, the better. So that's all. I don't know where the line is. I don't know how many schizophrenic or ADD or OCD or depressed or trans identifying people should be doing this and how shouldn't, but there's the line is somewhere, and some people are medicalized who shouldn't be.
I'm not a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend cutting your dick off or growing out some titties as a first resort,
right,
to solving.
Yeah, try all the other stuff we talked about first.
Troubles. You know,
just see if meditation and exercise help. Just see if
I'm
first,
not a doctor.
That's all.
Yeah.
Whether it's ADD or you think you're a girl or boy or you think you're depressed.
And these children, man.
Try your best, especially if you're a kid, because you really don't know what's going to do to your brain to be on Adderall. Ooh. From the time you're 7 or to start taking puberty blockers. We just don't. It's just like everyone's being used as a guinea pig. So if you want to be the people in the history books that people look back on and go, I can't believe the doctors were just giving them that stuff. Like, you don't have to blame yourself, but like you're going to be that person. If you're leaning too far into this medical world, then you're going to be the person that we all just feel sorry for. Just like people eating lead in the 70s.
I believe...
Just try not to eat the lead.
I believe it must be hard to be trans, but these D-trans people, they really take some shit, man. I know you talk to them.
Yeah.
And it's... first of all, they made this decision that it's just... I'd fucking kill myself.
Well, don't say that. Because then a lot of times they detransition, then they find meaning. Now some of them become YouTube stars as detransitioners, or they get to go around and talk, and that's fun. Or they write a memoir.
Oh man, if
I didn't life's meaningful,
have
it's
my
fine.
Dick and balls.
Yeah, yeah, but then you know, maybe you're more into using your butthole or whatever.
I'm not into using it. I'm less and less into using any of these things every day.
Well, there you go. So then maybe one day you'll want to cut your dick and balls off.
I don't want to cut my dick and balls off any more than I want to cut my arm off. It's just a
fundamental...
Some
people want to cut their arms off.
I know. Anyway.
I think it's fun that some people cut their dicks off. Do you know what I mean? Like,
isn't
it a better world?
I definitely
think
it's
fun. Is it a better
fun.
World that some
yes.
people are turning their dicks
yes.
inside out and making
and you
pussies?
Know what?
That's like...
And you know what? I am... whatever press statement you need right now to solve whatever I just did.
No, but it's also just, I mean, sincerely, like, it's awesome that some people are growing their tits out and we're seeing what the human body can do. It's just that, just be careful for yourself that you not be one of those people who really regrets whatever kind of fucking medicalization, gender or depression related or whatever other or otherwise, because it's a real risk. There's real risks that you might not be more benefiting from it than,
I'm here to tell you, if you're 25 or under, there is a decent chance you're going to make a decision that you regret.
Be extra fucking
careful. There is a real solid chance. Yeah. And yeah, I have no stake in anyone's life at all. Go for it. But I'm just saying. I was just pointing out these D-trans people. They have the weight of what they were encouraged to do and did. You know, everyone has to live with what they did.
Yeah.
And somehow alchemize it into whatever meaningful life will later come forward. That's whether you transition and don't transition back, or whether you pull a give backsy.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing they get is a lot of hate from the ever tolerant queer community.
Well. They get hate from some of the queer community, especially those online. Because I had a lot of trans friends who are super cool and easy to talk to about this stuff and recognize reality. Most of it, I mean, a lot of them don't realize how bad some of the like detransition stuff is and how bad and how much they're kind of lying to people. Like, there's a lot of misinformation out there about puberty blockers and whatever. Like, those of us who are paying attention are just kind of like, going, okay, everyone's figuring this out slowly, but most of the trans people that I know, like, aren't also the kind to be assholes or to, like, spend their time on the internet, like, being, it's just that the people on the internet, it's just like the assholes who are on YouTube are, like, you know, mostly conservative incel boy assholes, and then the assholes on Instagram and TikTok are mostly these, you know, young libtard assholes who don't understand anything about history or anything else, and but they're just too online, or some of them are autistic in the wrong way, you know. But
I mean, you really got a point there.
Yeah, but in real life,
really too.
Most people. So I just don't want it, like, because I always have that same thing. Like, I hear that someone's queer, and my initial reaction is like, oh fuck. But then most of the time, they're actually cool. It's just that most, you know, a lot of people suck, and the representation of them online and in the media, like the people who are being the loudest. Are the worst, but like let's not think that that's what like queer people are like, or the queer community, because I'm a member of the queer community.
Are you really?
There is no queer community; it's a made up concept. But
exactly.
The fact that I am queer means that I am in the queer community. Now, someone has tried to kick me out of the queer community. A few people have on Instagram videos before, but
really?
That's not. They're not the president.
You're kind of my. Is it the president that does that?
There's no. Well, I'm saying the president of the queer community, and there's no president of the queer community. You know what I mean? There's no one elected them, so they can sit there and tell me that I'm kicked out of the queer community. But other queers tell me, thank you for being who you are. So
yeah, thank you for being who you are. Really, I mean, I'm getting less and less like something, but your show. Scares me.
Which show? I have so many shows.
This show.
This show scares you?
Yeah. Why? Because you're doing something. You're doing that thing that people are saying again. Comedy has become dangerous again. Comedy has become scary again. I want to do that. And you're doing that.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Mad respect.
Thank
really.
You so much. Well, yeah, on that
and
note.
Thank you. And thank you for
well,
the time.
You're welcome. Thank you. So this is, we're out of time, but do you want to plug anything to the people?
Yeah, I'm on no shows, and every local Austin comedian who hasn't booked me is indicating their own comedic stupidity by not doing so. I also have a podcast called Unsettling In with Michael Malamud. It's
which I did.
Yeah,
I was on.
And she did, and it was awesome. And I'm having guests on every week, and it's fun. It's good. Check it out.
You can also just recommend a book or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's a good book? I haven't read a good...
Or something in your life.
No, no, no. It'll be a book.
Okay.
It'll be a book. Oh, a book that changed my life. It's very flowery, but it's about positive affirmations, and it fucking catapulted me to a different personal place, is You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. It's a New Age classic. Highly recommended.
Sweet. And I want to recommend for the week. I'm going to start doing little weekly recommendations. I was just listening to Pete Holmes' podcast, You Made It Weird, with Marianne Williamson. I fucking love Marianne Williamson so hard. I want her to be my mommy. I want her to be everyone's mommy. And she's just so fucking wise and beautiful hearted. God damn. Anyway, so that, and also, I don't know when this is going to come out. So I think when it comes out, I'll probably, wait, next week? Okay. So from the 15th through the 25th or something, I'm doing shows in New York. So you can go to my website, arielisaacnorman.com, if you want to figure out where any of those are, all over, you know, Brooklyn and everywhere, whatever. That's probably all you need for that. Follow me on Instagram at ellendegenderless if you're not already. You're probably following me if you're listening to this podcast. I'm talking to the
Yeah, I'm following you.
There's probably not that many people listening to the podcast who don't follow me, but you know, hit me up if you have anything to say about this podcast. I imagine that some people might have little opinions about a number of the things that we said today, but if you think that people are under-medicated in this country or whatever, then hit me up. I am still easy to get a hold of, which won't always be the case, but it is my favorite thing to answer messages, so guilty. Okay, bye.